Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Tzadi Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins from the 9th line from the top on Daf Tzadi Tes. Before beginning the actual Gemara, let us glance at the outside margin and read the Nosei, the topic heading, one of the features of our Gemara marking system, Shas Ozer, which is the pre-marked version of the Shas that you see on your screen. We feature topic headings and structural notes from time to time as each new sugya or each new geometric form appears. In this case, our nosei is Machloikis Tanoim. There is a Tanaic controversy im Shulchanois Shel Shloimoi Hoyu Ruyim Lelechem Veim Hoyu Madlikin Mi Minoroisov. As we have learned yesterday in the previous shiur, we discovered that Shlomo HaMelech made replicas of the shulchan, of the table that contained the lechem upon him, and of the menorah. He made 10 of each, 10 shulchanos and 10 menoros. The issue here is, were they functional? So let us see the Tanaic source that deals with this particular topic. As you can see in the Gemara, the point at which we are beginning today's shiur has a Tanaic source that appears in a frame. The Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Asoro Shulchonois, Oso Shloimoi, Velo Hoyu Misadrin Elo Al Shel Moshe. Though Shlomo HaMelech made 10 replica Shulchonois, the setting up of the Lechem Haponim of the breads was on Moshe's alone, only on the original Shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shneemar, V'es HaShulchan Asher Olov Lechem Haponim Zahov. This posuk is in the singular, the Es HaShulchan, the singular, the table that had the lechem set up upon it. We dashed underlined at the beginning of this source Eser Shulchanos, and again you can see a dash underlining Eser Menoros, the 10 candelabras. Also Shlomo, he made replicas, 10 replicas of the original menorah. Velo hoyu madlikin ela b'shel Moshe. The only one that was kindled was the original Moshe Rabbeinu menorah. Shneamar, menoras hazov v'neiroseha leva'er bo'erev. You can see this too is a posuk in the singular. Rabbi Lozer ben Shamua Omer, al kulam hoyu misadrin. He mentions that with regard to the tables, all of them, from time to time, different tables were used. Sometimes this one, sometimes that one. Shinemar es hashulchanos v'aleim lechem aponim. Now this posuk has shulchanos in the plural, and it says, and on them were the breads. Uvekulon hoyu madlikin. And from time to time, the different menoros that he made were kindled. Shinemar es hamenoros kamishpot lefnei hadvir zohov sagur. This pasuk too refers to the menoros in the plural that were used for kindling, that were placed in front of the dvir, in front of the kodesh hakodashim, meaning in the heichal, that were made of gold. So at this point we see there is a machlokes Tanakama and Rabbi Lozer ben Shemua as to the replicas. Rabbi Yossi Ber Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Lo Hoyu Misajim Elo Al Shel Moshe. He takes the position of the Tanakama with regard to the Shulchanos, that the Moshe Rabbeinu one was used. Elo Mani Mekayim V'es HaShulchanos V'aleim Lechem Aponim. What am I to do with the other posuk, the posuk that Rabbi Lozer ben Shemua cited as suggesting additional tables were in use? So he says there were additional tables, but not a reference to the replica lechem aponim tables. Elu shloisha shulchanos shohayu b'mikdash. This is a reference to three shulchanos that were in the mikdash. One of them, in this pasuk, is really the original shulchan. However, there were two additional shulchanos. Shnayim shohoyu ba'ulam mibifnim lepesach habayis. There were two that sat in the ulam. The ulam is the chamber that leads into the hechal. So there were two shulchanos in the chamber, in the ulam, at the entranceway to the hechal. Echad shel kesef, the echad shel zav. One was of silver and the other of gold. Al shel kesef noisein lechem haponim b'knisaso. The silver one was used for the new lechem upon him as it was being brought in to the hechal. There was a stop that they made and placed the new stacks of lechem upon him on this silver table in the ulam. We'll discover later on that they were placed here. They rested breads on this table to show that Ma'alin B'Kodesh, that after this silver table, they eventually will be placed on the official Moshe Rabbeinu golden Lechem Haponim table, and hence you see we're going up in sanctity and in quality from silver to gold. The Al Shel Zohov B'Yitzyosa, there was a second Ulam table that was made of gold, and the removed breads were placed on this placed on this golden table, waiting for the bozichin containing the Lavona spice to be burnt on the Mizbeach. Every week, when the 12 breads, the two stacks of 6 breads, were removed from the Hechal, and additionally, there were two receptacles containing Lavona, the two bozichin by name, containing the Lavona spice that was burnt on the Mizbeach, after which the breads were then distributed, so that in the waiting time for the burning of the bozichin, the two stacks of the previous week's breads were placed on this golden table, this second table that was in the ulam, while awaiting the burning of the bozichin. Now, why was it gold? Because the table that it was sitting on all week, the official Lechem Aponim table, was itself gold. Shemalin b'kodesh v'loy moridin. When you have movement by way of sanctity and importance, we would only go up, not go down. So it was already on a golden table. You can't now place it on a lesser important silver table. Therefore, the other ulam table had to be made of gold because of this principle of lo morida, not going down in kedusha. And the third table that was referred to when Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda mentioned the three tables in interpreting the pasuk, the es hashulchanos, the echad shel zav b'fnim she'olav lechem haponim tamid, and this is the third table, the one on which the lechem haponim was placed for the whole week on a regular basis. That's the standard, the official Moshe Rabbeinu table. As you can see, we have now a new marking, a double underline. This is explained under our Nosei Mivneh heading that you find in the outside margin. Nosei is a topic, and Mivneh is the structural note that accompanies this. Sometimes we have the Mivneh note separate, but in this case we've combined it with the topic. The double underlined expression, Min Olan, and we'll see that we are demalin b'kodesh and v'lo moridin. In this case, you can see we've double underlined in the text itself, minolon de moridin, and later uminolon de maalin. So from where do we know these principles? The Gemara, uminolon de ein moridin, we mentioned that we go up, we ascend in sanctity and do not descend. So from where do we know that we do not descend? Omar Rebbe, the Omar Kro, Rebbe cites a pasuk, in a pasuk involving the construction of the Mishkan, and it says, "Vayokem Moshe es haMishkan, vayitein es Adonav, vayosem es Kroshov, vayitein es Brichov, vayokem es Amudov." The pasuk describes Moshe Rabbeinu as setting up the Mishkan with its various appurtenances and necessary elements for its being, for its setting up. Rashi, in looking at this pasuk, cites three explanations as how you see the idea of Ein Moridin. One of the explanations is that in the beginning of this pasuk, you see the word Vayokem. Vayokem means to set something up, as opposed to pulling something down. So at the beginning and at the end of the pasuk, again you see Vayokem. So you see throughout this pasuk, there is careful note of putting up, of raising something, as opposed to having something come down. Another pshat that Rashi gives is that Moshe Rabbeinu worked here without assistance from other Kohanim. So that once Moshe Rabbeinu, who apparently was the loftiest of the Jewish people, was involved, it would not be fitting for someone of lesser stature to be involved as well. So you see that idea of Ma'alim, and you see Ein Moridin. Rashi offers a third pshat, that the pasuk opens up by saying that he held up the covering. The covering was mentioned, and it was the covering was held up in place while the supports were slipped in underneath. The idea being is that once the covering was put in place, it wasn't to be taken down. And that idea of not taken down reflects this idea of Ein Moridin. Continuing in the Gemara, Umenolon de Ma'alin, and from where do we learn this idea of ascending? Omar Rabbi Acho Bar Yankov, the Omar Kro, Es Machtois Hachatoim Oele, Benafshoisom, the Osu Oisom Rukue Pachim Tzipui Lamizbeach, Ki Hikrivum Lifnei Hashem, Va Yikdoshu, Vayula Ois Lifnei Yisrael. This is describing the pans that were used in the Maisa Kirach. At first they were Batchila, the Gemara says, Batchila Tashmishe Mizbeach. They were pans that were used in service of the Mizbeach, the Achshov, and then later, now, Gufoi Shal Mizbeach. The pans were then made into what the Pasuk describes as Rikuei Pachem Tzipui LeMizbeach. They were made into a coating for the Mizbeach. So originally they were pans that were used to serve the Mizbeach, and now they became part of the Mizbeach itself. So that's the idea of going up in sanctity. First a service mechanism, and then becoming the element itself. Asher Shibarto V'Samtom Bo'oron. This pasuk is now darshaned by Rav Yosef, who quotes a Tanaic teaching, Toni Rav Yosef, Milamed, this pasuk that describes the broken pieces of the Luchos, the first set of Luchos that Moshe Rabbeinu smashed upon witnessing the Maisa Egel Azov, the pasuk teaches us, Milamed Shal Luchos V'Shivrei Luchos Munochim Ba'oron, that the second set of Luchos that Moshe Rabbeinu fashioned and the original first set of Luchos that are now in pieces were both in the Holy Ark. Mikan, from this we learn a principle. L'talmud chocham sheshochach talmudoi machmas oinsoi, a Torah sage that because of circumstances beyond his control has forgotten his learning. This could be a situation where you have a person who had been a Talmud Chacham and through age lost his full mental capacity and forgot his learning. That's a function of machmas. Also, she'ein noagin boi minag bizayon, that one is not to treat him in a light fashion, in a disparaging fashion, by virtue of the fact that you see here the shivrei luchos were treated with respect and placed in the aron together with the second set of complete luchos. We see this idea. We have now a, in parentheses, Simon Bitel, Sarach, Veshochach. These are titles, if you will, or word references to three teachings of Reish Lakish. And on our outside margin, we have the Nosei Mivneh, whereby we feature a triangle, one of our series markings. Memros Shel Reish Lakish. These are comments of Reish Lakish. Be'inyin Talmud Torah v'Talmid Chachamim, within the realm of Torah study and Torah sages. Omar Reish Lakish. Pa'omim, there are times, she'bitulo shel Torah zehu yisoida, that the non-study of Torah, in fact, establishes Torah. Dichtiv asher shibarta. This is again the pasuk that we just saw the Rav Yosef source deal with. Omar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, the Almighty said to Moshe upon seeing Moshe smashed the luchos, and he smashed them because he felt that the Jewish people, upon worshipping the ego, were not deserving of receiving the Torah. The Almighty said to Moshe, Yashar Koichacha Sheshibarta, or as we say colloquially, Yishar Koyach, which is a bracha, strength be unto you that you broke the luchos. The breaking is a situation of bitul, of the undoing of Torah, so to speak. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says this was necessary. This was necessary to do. That was a necessary act. And I second your motion, even though it was not something that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to do. He came to this conclusion through his own reasoning. Nevertheless, it received the approval of the Almighty. The Rashi on the top explains, Shebitula shel Torah, kegon shemevatel Torah lo itzas hameis ulachnosas kala, that a person stops his Torah learning for the sake of accompanying the dead to his burial, or lahavdil, to accompany a bride to her wedding. This preoccupation is a preoccupation that is not involved with direct textual Torah study. Zehu yisoida. This establishes Torah. Klomar mekabel schar. This means to say that he gets reward kiilu yoshevu miyasta v'oisepa. It's as if he is studying the Torah and establishing the Torah and being preoccupied with Torah. Shenema asher shibarta. The Kodesh Baruch Hu said upon seeing the smashing, the undoing, so to speak, of the Torah, that's what he said, V'lo amar le b'loshem kas, and he didn't say it with anger, he said it with approval. Shma mino hiskimo imo das hashchino. We see from there that the Almighty approved Moshe's actions, kishe bitel tor v'shibron, kevon deniskavim l'toiva. Since Moshe Rabbeinu's intentions were positive, that was sufficient to receive the approval of the Almighty. One may look in Maseches Brachos Daf Vav Amid Beis, and one will see a similar comment with regard to one who is involved with providing joy to a groom during his marriage, where the Gemara describes one who does that is as if one is occupied with Torah, or Zochet Torah, as the Gemara there says. Continuing in our Gemara, Omar Reish Lakish, the Vav in the word Vomar indicates another comment of Reish Lakish. Talmud Chacham Shesorach, a Talmud Chacham who sinned, Ein Mevazen Oisoy Befarhesya. He is not to be disparaged in public. Shenemar V'choshal Tohayoyim V'choshal Gam Novi Imcho Laila. And the drosha on this pasuk, koshalta, has to do with someone who stumbles. And it mentions in this pasuk, and the prophet who stumbles with you. And at the end, you see the word laila. And the drosha of this is, the explanation, kaseu kalaila. cover it up. In other words, don't expose the Talmud Chacham's sin in public. The Omar Reish Lakish, Kol HaMashakeach Dover Echod MiTalmudo Over Balav. There's another girsa that the Shita Gumetzis brings, called Talmud Chacham Sheshochach. There's a very significant difference in these words. As far as the end of the sugya is concerned, there won't be a difference, but on a translation level, the text in the Shita Gumetzis simply says, any Talmud Chacham who forgot his learning, forgot any element, any aspect of his learning, is in violation of a negative command. The current text that we have, the Gemara's text, Kol HaMashakeach, is a more active verb where one attempts to forget, one tries to put out of his mind, so to speak. But in either way, we're talking in general terms about the forgetting of Torah learning. On the outside margin, we have a nosei mivne. It's true that we have a triangle around Reish Lakish, this because this is part of the, this is the third of the series of Reish Lakish comments. But in addition to that, we'll notice under Reish Lakish a double underline. The reason for this is because this comment of Reish Lakish is the beginning of a new series of comments regarding what we have written in the outside margin. Deois shel mispar halavim shechayev odom hashocher Torah. Different opinions as to the number of offenses that one is in violation of when he forgets his Torah. So Reish Lakish mentions that he's in violation of a singular lav, a negative command. The Gemara goes on, Shinemar, Hishomer Lecho Shmor Nafshecho Me'oid, Pen Tishkach Es Hadvorim. Uchid Rabbi Ovenam Rabbi Allah, and to appreciate how you see in this pasuk a negative command, because you don't have the standard word for a negative command is a loy, like it would say lo sirtzach or lo sinof. Those are negative commands. Here you don't see the word lo, but nevertheless, Rabbi Oven in the name of Allah teaches us the Omer Rabbi Oven Omer Rabbi Allah Kol Mokim Shneamar Hishomer Pen V'Al. Wherever you see one of these three words, either Hishomer or Pen or V'Al, Eino Elo Loisase. This indicates a negative command, and in this pasuk you see the word at the beginning of the pasuk Hishomer. We have a bracketed section which is designed for skipping initially, and we have a note on the inside margin why these brackets are here. In addition to that, you'll also notice the bracket length indicator, the vertical dashed dotted line that you see to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text, indicating that these four lines we want to skip initially. So we will read the note on the inside margin, Sograyim L'shem Dilug. The brackets are for skipping. Kedei lahatzmid ha-she'ela, in order to attach the question that follows the brackets, ladin ha-psisi, to attach it to the basic law that we just learned, shishichas Torah krucha ba'averas lav, that the forgetting of Torah is associated with a negative command. And within the bracketed section, you'll notice two additional opinions regarding the number of negative commands that one is in violation of. But at this point, we said that one who forgets Torah learning is in violation of a loisaseh. At this point, the Gemara asks, after the brackets, we have the word yochol in a diamond, and this is explained in the outside margin, yochol she'elois be'inyin ha-shechech teroso ha'im tomid chayov. These are two questions regarding the forgetting of the Torah. Is one always, under all circumstances, in violation? So notice the first question, yochol afilu machmas oisoi, is one in violation if he forgets the Torah learning through uncontrolled circumstances? Let's say some type of health-related matter that affects his memory, and as a result forgets his Torah learning, is he also said to be in violation? So the Gemara will answer that. And there will be another question a bit later, but before we go on to that, let's go over the bracketed section. Reish Lakish himself had mentioned that one is in violation of a singular negative command. Ravina Omar, turning to the Gemara, you see Ravina double underlined, like we had noted Reish Lakish, he says, Ravina says, Over b'shnei lavim. One is in violation of two negative commands. In the pasuk, you see the word hishomer, upen. You also see the word pen, which we saw in the name of Rabbi Ovin was an indication of a negative command. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Amar b'shloisha lavim. Shnemar hishomer l'cha u'shmor nafshecha ma'oy pen tishkach es hadvorim. We've noted with numbers that in this very pasuk there are three words indicating negative commands, so that if one is shocheach the dvarim, the words of Torah, he is in violation of three negative commands. Now the Gemara asks, after having heard how serious this matter is, yochol afilu machmasan, so is he over, is he in violation even if his forgetting is a result of something uncontrollable? Talmud Lomar, to this we respond, not so. Ufen yosuru milavavecha. B'mesirom milibakos medaber. The expression of pen yosuru means one who puts them, the words of Torah, out of his mind. He consciously wants to forget what he has learned. Rabbi Dostoy, Rabbi Yane Omar, Yochol afilu tokfalov mishnaso. This is another question. Does this negative command, even under these circumstances of tokfa alov mishnaso, glancing at the Rashi at the second line from the top, tokfa shalo yochol lahamid yirsaso. He simply has difficulty in remembering. He can't ma'amid, he can't remember, retain his learning. Is he also considered in violation? Talmud Lomar, rak. The word rak is a word of minimizing, limitation, so that in the pasuk, the word rak had appeared, and this is a word indicating limitation, so that the violation of forgetting Torah is not under all circumstances. Rather, we can review what the Gemara said. It's clear that the violation takes place when one consciously tries to forget his Torah learning. But if one, let us say, learned a lot and wants to remember it and reviews his Torah learning, certainly with the hope of remembering, and finds that he's, just because of the amount that he's learned, he is incapable of retaining all of the information, need not worry of being in violation of this negative command. Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar Dami Travayu, both of them say, Torah nitno barboim, uneshama noitzro barboim. The Torah was given after 40 days, where Moshe Rabbeinu was on the mountain for a period of 40 days, and the neshama of a person is formed in 40 days. The Rashi points out that Tzuras Havlad l'arboim yom, that after conception the embryo is said to receive or to achieve formation after 40 days. Kol hamashamer toiroso nishmosoi mishtameres, one who guards his Torah learning, his soul will be guarded. V'chol she'eno mishamer es ha-Torah, and one who does not guard his Torah, ein nishmoso mishtameres, his soul is not protected, is not guarded. Tana devei Rabbi Shmuel, moshal la'odom shemosar tzipor dror la'avdo. To appreciate this idea of keeping one's Torah and how important it is to keep the Torah, to guard his Torah learning, in the context of this Gemara, it would have to be, would have to say it's this is dealing with the person's attempt to remember his Torah learning, and certainly not to put it out of his mind. A moshel, an analogy to a person who gave a free bird, a wild bird, to his servant. Omar kemeduma ato, so the master says to his servant upon giving him the sipor dror, he says, you probably think shimata ma'abdo, that if you are careless and lose the bird, shani noitel mimcho isor bedomeha, that I will accept from you an isor as a coin for its value in compensation for the loss of the bird. I want to tell you something. Nishmoscho ani no tel mimcha. I will take your life. That's what the master is saying to the servant, that you better be very careful with this bird, with that which I am giving to you. I have seen elsewhere regarding Torah study, the Gemara, if I'm not mistaken, in Maseches Brochas, quotes a pasuk, Hatoy Fenecha Bo Veinenu, which indicates that one who lifts his eyes out of Torah and it's gone. The Torah, and it uses the word Hatoif. Ta'if can be explained in the terms of la'uf, to fly away. It's almost as if Torah learning has a built-in forget mechanism to it. The idea being that unlike other pursuits, in order to be successful in Torah learning, one must be very constant in it and diligent in it. And one who merely lifts his eyes out of it, he should not be surprised if he finds the words of Torah flying away. So that the analogy to the Tzipor Dror over here may be found to be a consistent type analogy to what you see elsewhere with regard to Torah learning. The Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, we have a topic heading in the outside margin, Sidur Lechem Haponim B'Shabos, Eich Oisim Oisoi, the setting up of the breads of the 12 Lechem Haponim, the two stacks of six breads. How is it done procedurally? So the Mishnah, Shnei Shulchanos Hoyu Ba'ulam Mibifnim Al Pesach Habayis, we saw this referred to in the previous sugya on Amud Aleph. We saw in the Tanaic source a reference to these additional tables. Two tables sat in the Ulam at the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash. This is the entrance to the Heichal. Echad shel shayish ve'echad shel zohav. One was made of, now here the word shayish appears in the brisa we saw before, the word kesef. So the word shayish literally is marble, but Rashi explained earlier that even though the word shayish appears over here, in the Mishnah it was made of silver. It's just that the color of silver is a bright color like that of marble. Continuing in the Mishnah, Al Shel Shayish Noisnim Lechem Haponim B'Knisaso, on the Shayish table, the new loaves were placed upon the entrance to in anticipation of entering the Heichal, the Al Shel Zov B'Tziyoso, and on the second table, the previous week's breads, after being removed from the main Shulchan, the Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan, they were placed on this golden table in anticipation of the offering of the Bozichin. Shemalin B'Kodesh V'lo Moridin. As we mentioned before, the use of the silver table was to indicate that we're going to now go from silver up to gold. That's Ma'alin B'Kodesh. And Lomoridin, upon exit, you couldn't use a silver table now because it had been on a gold table all week. The Echod, an additional table, the Iker table, Shel Zohov Mibifnim, She'olov Lechem Aponim Tamid, that the Lechem Aponim was kept on on all the time during the week. V'arbo Kohanim Nichnosim, Shnayim Biyodam Shnei Storim, Shnayim Biyodam Shnei Bozichin. Four Kohanim, two holding the two stacks, and two, each one holding one of the Bozichin receptacles containing the Lavona. The Arbo, another four Kohanim, Makdimin Lifnaim, would go in before these Kohanim carrying the new Lechem Aponim and Lavona. Four others would enter before them. Shnayim Litol Shnei Sidorim, two to remove the two stacks of the previous week's breads, Ushnaim Litol Shnei Bozichin, and two that would remove the Bozichin for burning on the Mizbeach. Hamachnisin Oimdim Batsophon, the ones carrying the new loaves would stand toward the on the northern side of the Shulchan. This, as Rashi points out, this Mishnah is in accordance with the opinion that the Shulchanos' length were set up from east to west. So the you would be facing the bread, so to speak, if you were standing on the northern side, north and south. So the new breads were held by Kohanim standing on the northern side of the Shulchanos, Ufnehem Ladarum, facing south. Vamotziim, the ones removing the previous week's breads, Oimdim Badarum, would stand on the southern side of the Shulchan, Ufnehem Batzafon, facing north. Eilu Moishchin v'Eilu Manichin. The Tifchoi Shelzeh, Keneged Tifchoi Shelzeh. The Kohanim in the south that were there to remove the old breads would draw unto themselves the old breads, like slide them off the table. The Elu and the new Kohanim, the ones containing the new breads, would slip onto the table their stacks simultaneous with the removal of the old stacks. That means tifchoi shelzeh, literally a tefach, means one was within a tefach of the other. And as we said, the action was done simultaneously. And why was there this necessity? Shenemar lefonai tomid. With regard to the lechem upon him, it says, the breads shall be in front of me, says the Almighty, on a constant basis. So in order to ensure constancy, the table shall not be for even a moment without breads on it. Hence, while one was slipping off the old stack, the new stack was being slipped on to the table. Another opinion, though, Rabbi Yossi Omer, he disagrees and says, and that's why we have a little two. This is follows the number one that we had just two lines above. Rabbi Yossi has a second opinion. Omer afilu elu notlin v'elu manichin afhu ha'ifhi hoisa tomid. Rabbi Yossi says that even if the one stack was removed in the morning and the other stack was placed in the afternoon, that is in conformity to the concept of tomid. Tomid being a word indicating constant. So Rabbi Yossi doesn't view it in a literal fashion, but rather on a daily basis, that every day shall be ensured that breads are on the table. Yotsu v'nosnum al shulchanozov. The Kohanim carrying the previous week's loaves would then place their stacks on the golden table, shehoya b'ulam, that was located in the ulam chamber, which was the entrance chamber leading to the heichal, hiktiru habozichin, while the breads were waiting on this golden table, the bazichin containing the lavona were burnt on the mizbeach, and after that, v'achalos mischalkus l'kehanim, and the loaves were distributed amongst the kehanim. Chal yom ha-kippurim lios b'shabbos. Let's say that Yom Kippur is on Shabbos, and of course Yom Kippur is a day where there is no eating. Hachalos mischalkos lo'erev. The loaves would be distributed in the evening for eating. Chal liyos b'erev Shabbos. Let's say that Yom Kippur came out on Erev Shabbos. That means on a Friday is Yom Kippur. Part of the sacrifices of Yom Kippur involves a soyer, a goat offering that was part of the Musaf offering. Now this korban in general would be eaten. Now it was offered on Yom Kippur, so it wouldn't be eaten on Yom Kippur. So if Yom Kippur came out in the middle of the week, in the evening, the Motzoi Yom Kippur, they would then roast it or cook it. What happens if Yom Kippur comes out on Friday? The night time that follows is Shabbos. Shabbos is a time where no cooking is allowed. So the Mishnah says that if Yom Kippur came out on a Friday, Soir shel Yom HaKippurim nechal lo erev, its time for being eaten would be in the evening, Friday night. Tabavlayim oichlin oisoy kishu chai mipnei shedaiton yofe. Since we're talking about a raw eating, the Mishnah points out that the Babylonian Kohanim, they would eat it because they had this daitan yofe. They were non-particular in what they ate and would eat even raw meat. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Afimu Silek es Hayashana Shachris V'Sider es Hachadosha Arvis. This Rabbi Yossi is the same Rabbi Yossi as we saw in the Mishnah. He was the second opinion with regard to the issue of constancy. Here in this brisa, there is more elaboration, and he says that even if the old stack of breads were removed in the morning, the seder es hachadosha arvis, and the new stack were set up in the late afternoon, ein bekach klum, there would be no violation involved. Elaman mikayim lefonai tomid. So what am I to do though with the pasuk which indicates the breads are in my presence, says the Almighty, on a regular basis? Shelo yolin shulchan v'lo lechem. All that pasuk means, says Rabbi Yossi, is that there shouldn't be a night that goes by without the bread on it. So that all we have to do is ensure that every day the shulchan has bread on it, and when it comes to Shabbos, which is the time for the switching of the loaves, so make sure that before the night, before Shabbos, the Saturday night sets in, make sure the shulchan has been loaded up with the new stacks. Omar Rabbi Ami, Midvarav Shurav Yossi, from Rabbi Yossi's approach to understanding the idea of tumid, of constancy, new mode, we can derive Afilu loshona odom elo perik echod shachris uperik echod arvis. When it comes to Torah study, we can conclude that even if one studies one chapter, assuming for our purpose a chapter is a reference to a small unit of Torah study, even one chapter in the morning and one chapter in the evening, kiyem mitzvahs, he is in fulfillment of what the Torah says in Sefer Yoshua, lo yomush Sefer Torah zemi picha. That the Torah shall not depart from your lips. So the idea of something being constantly there. So if looking at the pasuk in Yeshua, the pasuk seems to indicate the Torah must be constantly upon your lips. How is one in fulfillment of constancy? So we saw a parallel idea with regard to the lechem upon him. The lechem upon him is said to be constantly there, even in a situation where you had removed the old stack in the morning, a whole day goes by where there's no bread. It was bread just in the morning. For a brief moment in the morning hours there was bread. Whole day no bread. For a brief moment in the late afternoon hours before sundown, again there is bread. That's considered a constant presence of bread. So too, a little bit of Torah in the morning, a little bit of Torah in the late afternoon, you too are in fulfillment of constant Torah study. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. We've labeled Rabbi Yochanan as number one because you will see two opinions on the very point that Rabbi Yochanan is about to comment. Before going any further, though, let us go to the outside margin and look at our nosei, the topic heading. Chovas Talmud Torah Kamohi, the obligation of studying Torah, how much is that? V'haim yochol odom loymar, can a person say, Shiyotza choivoso v'achshav potur? Can a person say, I have fulfilled my requirement and now I am exempt? Another point that will be raised in the upcoming Gemara, Limud Torah Matzilo Megehenim, Ubenoisaf Maniko Schar Rav. Torah study protects from purgatory, and in addition to that, it's not only a mere protection device, but it also is a source of great reward. Turning back to the Gemara, the number one that we have over Rabbi Yochanan, Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Afilu lo kora odom elo kriyas shma shachris v'arvis, even if a person merely recites the morning Kriya Shema and the nighttime Kriya Shema, Kiyem lo yomush, he has fulfilled what the pasuk in Yoshua commands, that it shall not depart. So with this very, very minor fulfillment, if you will, the recitation of Kriya Shema in the morning and in the evening, one is in fulfillment of this command. The Dovar Zeh Osu La'omro Bifnei Amei Haaretz, and Rabbi Yochanan feels that this comment of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai is forbidden to say before those who are ignorant. The reason for this prohibition is that if someone sees that he can get away with so little and still be in fulfillment, he will then not accustom himself, or Rashi puts emphasis on his children, to Torah study. He will reason that I can fulfill my Torah study obligation with the mere recitation of Kriya Shema Shachris Varvis. I don't need to do any more. I don't have to see to it that my children do anymore. And if that becomes popular, so expertise in Torah will cease to exist. The Rava, Omar Rava, has the opposite approach to Rabbi Yochanan and says, Mitzvah le'omro b'fnei am oretz, ame oretz. It is an obligation to reveal this point to ame oretz. Rava, taking a very positive approach, feels that if you tell Ame Oretz by the mere recitation of Kriya Shema, they fulfill their Torah study obligations. They will calculate that for that very little, I am destined to receive such great reward, the reward associated with Torah study, all the more so if I do more than that mere small amount of Kriya Shema Shachris V'Arvis. I will merit receiving so much more and more and more reward. That will actually motivate him to study more and to accustom his children to Torah study. We have a Tanaic source, Shoal ben Doma ben Achoisa Shirabi Shmuel es Rabbi Shmuel. Ben Doma, the nephew, son of Rabbi Shmuel's sister, the nephew of Rabbi Shmuel, asked his uncle, Kagonani, take me as an example. Shelamadati kol haTorah kula. I have covered all areas of Torah learning. Mahu lumud chokhmas yivonis. Can I now engage in the study of Greek wisdom? Chokhmas yivonis is described in other Gemaras as having to do with different forms of communication that the Greeks had developed. So, can I pursue that study? Korah Olav HaMikra Zeh, Rabbi Shmuel referred to him the following pasuk: Lo Yomush Sefer HaTorah Zeh Mipicha V'Gisa Bo Yoimam V'Layla. That the Torah shall not depart from your lips, and you shall be engaged in it day and night. So, based on this pasuk, Rabbi Shmuel says to his nephew, Tzei, Uvdok Sha'a She'eno Lo Mina Yoim V'Lo Mina Laila. Find out a moment or a time that's not day nor night. Ulamod Bo Chochmas Yivonis. And during that time, study Chochmas Yivonis. Of course, Rabbi Shmuel didn't. Rabbi Shmuel is clearly saying to him, you cannot stop your Torah studying in favor of learning Chochmas Yivonis. But it's interesting, it's interesting from an educational standpoint, he didn't answer him simply no. He cited a pasuk and said, look, the pasuk lays the guidelines for Torah study. It says, Hagisa bo yomam v'laylo, day and night. Well, since the 24 hours of the clock are labeled either as day or night, there is no time that's non-day nor night. And in effect, he is telling him that you cannot stop your Torah study for Chochmas Yivonis. Upligo de Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni, the approach that we have taken to the pasuk of Lo Yomush, the approach we've taken till now as a command, this is at odds or different than Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni's approach. The Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni Rav Yonason, Pasuk zeh eino loy choyva v'loy mitzvah ela brocha. This pasuk is not referring to an obligation or a command. It is merely a blessing. Ro HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yehoshua Shedivrei Torah Chavivim Alav B'Yoser. The Almighty noticed that Yehoshua was someone who was very, very fond and very fond of his Torah study. Shenemar, In describing Yoshua, the Torah says, "Umishorso Yoshua ben Nun nar lo yomish mitoich ha'oyal." The Mishorso of Moshe Rabbeinu. Mishorso is the servant of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yoshua used to serve Moshe Rabbeinu. Did not depart from the tent. He did not depart from Moshe Rabbeinu's side, always absorbing Torah learning from Moshe. So the Almighty saw this characteristic of Yoshua. Omar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty says to Yehoshua, kol kach chavivan alecha divrei Torah, so fond are you of divrei Torah, lo yomush sefer haTorah zemi picha, the Torah will not depart from you. In other words, the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him a special blessing that he will not forget his Torah learning. Tana debei Rabbi Shmuel, divrei Torah, lo yu alecha choiva. One should not view Torah as a debt. A debt is something that when one pays it off, he says, "I have fulfilled my debt. I have no more obligation." As a result of saying that one is not to view Torah as a debt, it follows that one is not allowed to say, "I am exempt from it." There's something that's interesting to point out in light of a Gemara in Maseches Brachos. We had seen in this Gemara Rabbi Shmuel and his approach to Torah study, and we had seen Rabbi Yochanan quote Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi and his approach. In this Gemara, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochoi reveals that one can fulfill his basic Torah study obligation through the recitation of Kriya Shema Shachris V'Arvis, presenting a very minimalistic approach to Torah. The same Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi in Maseches Brachos, when dealing with the issue of Torah study versus pursuit of income, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai takes an extreme approach that seems to suggest that one should pursue Torah study during all his waking hours, and as far as income is concerned, the Almighty will have compassion and others will see to it that he is supported. On the other hand, in this Gemara, when looking at Rabbi Shmuel, he takes a very we'll call serious approach to Torah study in responding to his nephew who requested to depart from his Torah study in favor of Chochmas Yevonis. He says, well, as far as Torah study is concerned, you can depart from it when you're at a time that's not day nor night, namely no departure from it. And yet in Maseches Brachos, it's interesting to note, we're not offering explanations right now. We're simply pointing out an interesting phenomenon, and that in Maseches Brachos, Rabbi Shmuel, when dealing with the point that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai raised concerning income, he says there, Haneig bohen minog derech eretz, that one should pursue Torah study with an approach that is in conformity to the natural ways of man. The natural ways of man involves pursuing an income, and that involves a certain number of hours during the day that a person is not engaged in pure Torah study, and that's Rabbi Shmuel's approach in opposition to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai on that matter. Parenthetically, it may be pointed out, so that we shouldn't create any inaccurate impression, in that very same Gemara in Maseches Brachos, where Rabbi Shmuel says Hanheg boin minig derech eretz, which very loosely can be translated as combine Torah study with pursuit of income, Rova in that Gemara, seemingly interpreting Rabbi Shmuel, says to his students, Rava says to his students, don't come to my lectures, the Yomei Nisan and Yomei Tishrei, being that those are the planting season and the harvest season. That out of 10 months, out of 12 months during the year, dedicate 2 months to pursuit of income. And if you do that, you'll have the other 10 months available for Torah study. The Rambam, who is often quoted in his concern for people pursuing an income, the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah points out a breakdown of hours of one's day, and he allots, assuming a 12-hour day, because besides the hours for sleep and other bodily functions, so working with a 12-hour day scheme, he says, he talks about 9 hours a day of Torah study and 3 hours a day of pursuit of income. So that this discussion is a discussion that many find interesting and challenging, a challenging issue of how to deal with pursuit of income, balancing pursuit of income and Torah study. So we have simply presented a couple of different sources and presented the seeming contrasts in approaches that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai take both to one another and within themselves. Of course, there are resolutions and ways to rectify what might seem to be a perplexing difference, but nevertheless, all we were trying to do in the last few minutes was to present the opinions of these great Tanoim here and in Maseches Brachos and try to show how they seem to they seem to be different, but we are not in the context of our shir offering a resolutions. Continuing in our Gemara, Omar Chizkia, 3 lines from the bottom, Mai dichtiv ve'af hisischo mipitzar rachav lo mutzak tachteha. The continuation of the pasuk we've written on the inside margin, v'nachas shulchoncha molei doshein. This hemshich, this continuation, will be needed for the next omid of Gemara. In the meantime, Chizkia is looking at this pasuk. The word toward the beginning of the pasuk, hisischo, is a word that, generally speaking, has a negative connotation. Lehasis is to attempt to convince or seduce, if you will, and you'll find this in the context of someone trying to convince his fellow man to go off the path and pursue idolatry. In this pasuk, though, there is a description of the Almighty being involved with hasata. The Gemara, Chizkia points out, Bo re'eh shelo kemidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basar v'dam. The ways of the Almighty are so different than the ways of man. Midas basar v'dam, the way of man, Adam mesis is chavero midarkei chayim ledarkei misa. When a person is involved with this behavior of hasata, of mesis, of seduction, it's generally to seduce his friend to go off the path, to go off the way of life to the way of death, from the way of worship of Almighty to idolatry. However, Vakodesh Baruch Hu, using the very same word in the pasuk, engages in this attempt to convince. The Kodesh Baruch Hu's mesis is ha'odah midarkei misa ledarkei chayim, to have a person leave the path of death and pursue the path of life. Shenemar, v'af hisischa mipi tzar. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is trying to convince you to leave the pi tzar. What is that? Mi gehenim. Gehenim is purgatory. Shepiha tzar. The Gemara engages here in a physical description of purgatory, which is described as an area that has a very narrow opening. And why does Gehenna have a narrow opening? Kidei shiyehe ashona tzavur besocha, so that the smoke and the smoke which represents the heat doesn't escape, so that the entrance to Gehenna is a very narrow entrance where there is affording the chance for great heat build up within, because the exit is very narrow, so there's no room for the heat to escape. V'shema toimar, you might say k'shem shepiot tzar kach kulo tzara, just like its entrance is very narrow, so the whole Gehenna is very narrow, and that indicates that there would be room for very few people, and I've got nothing to worry about. Talmud Lomar, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya that describes Gehenna, and it says he'emik hirchiv, he'emik, it's deepened or dug out and widened, so that we are describing an area that has a very wide interior where there is a great amount of heat, and there's great heat build up as well because of the narrow entranceway. So one should not seek comfort in suggesting to himself there's no room there. There's plenty of room to hold everyone that is deserving of Gehenna. V'shem otomar lemelech lohuchana, one might say that there is no Gehenna for the king. Rashi at the top, lemelech lohuchana, letalmid shepirish min haTorah, referring to someone who had once been engaged in Torah study and chose an alternative life path. One might say, lo huchana gehenem, shalei eni don ba, that one who was once engaged in Torah study, so he's guaranteed non-exposure to gehenem, thereby offering or suggesting to himself license to choose a non-Torah way of life. So to that, and Rashi says, melech kori, the word melech is a term used l'tamad chochem d'chtiv bi melochim yimlochu. That pasuk indicates a reference to using the word melochim, kings, to talmidei chachomim. So one might think or try to rationalize that I've studied Torah, now I have nothing to worry about, and I don't have to worry about a future in purgatory. Talmud Lomar, so to this, the pasuk in Yeshaya says, Gam hi lemelech uchan. The pasuk referring to Gehenna says it's been prepared also for the melech. V'shem otomar ein bo eitzim. You might think that there's no fuel in there, that may be suggesting that eventually the heat dies down and I have nothing to worry about. Talmud Lomar, so once again in Yeshaya, it describes Gehenna as madurto eish ve'eitzim harbei. There is a furnace of burning fire with a great deal of wood, a great deal of fuel. V'shem otoimar zehu schora. You might say that after all is said and done, the reward of Torah study is simply protection from Gehenna, but no more. It's simply removal of the negative. Talmud Lomar, so the posuk in Iyov that we opened up with at the bottom of Tzadi Tesomid Beis, that posuk continues to say the Nachas Shulchoncha Mole Doshein, that the one who is involved with Torah study is also destined to receive a great deal of positive reward. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.